T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into the Huddle. It's Wednesday afternoon. It is September 12th. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo here. On a day, well, I should say a week, in which the weather will dominate pretty much all aspects of our lives, including the sporting world. So we'll talk a lot about that today. And Hurricane Florence, we'll give you an update on that. Some moves have been made, some more still to be decided about football games for this weekend, which, of course, is not the biggest of priorities. But we are a sports show, so we'll talk about that coming up, give you the latest on that today. In fact, Darrell Nance, the Greenville County High School Athletic Director, will join us at about 2:20 to talk about the decision that they made today for high school football in Greenville County, about 2:20 this afternoon. Also today at 1:30, we have a Heisman Trophy winner on the show live, Gino Toretta, the U, 1992 Heisman winner. He'll join us, and we'll talk to him about college football. So looking forward to having Gino on. Three questions at 3, Rich take on sports. We're going to hear from Will Muschamp about his offense and some of the issues they had against Georgia on Saturday in the loss. And much more today. Oh, the Braves, too. The Braves had a good day. They won, and the Phillies lost, too. So their magic number decreased by 3 in one day. That's pretty good. That's a good day.
That's a very good day.
Yeah.
And you know, as many people have heard me say, I'm a data guy, analytics type guy. I like stats. And that's one of those positive stats for the Braves right there. You got to love that number.
Oh, yeah. They're now 90%+ chance of winning the East.
Yeah. And I think they've got a legitimate shot. I thought that they would get to 90 wins. I think we talked about that one time on three questions at 3. And I think they've got a real good shot.
Yeah, you know, they haven't been on fire or anything, but Philly has been so bad that it hasn't mattered. Philly has been really – I mean, you look back at what Philadelphia's done over the last several weeks, and you see how this happened. It was really all about that built this lead for the Atlanta Braves. But however they got it, they got it. And so they're cruising toward the finish line here, unless the bottom falls out, and we're all, as Braves fans, hoping – that doesn't happen. You can call us and join the conversation at any time at 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN, and we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Florence is trending. Florence is trending in a big way. This huge storm, dangerous Category 4 hurricane, is headed our way right now. It's like 485 miles southeast of Wilmington, so basically off the South Carolina coast, and churning in the direction of Wilmington, North Carolina. The change since yesterday is that some of the forecast models have it turning to the west once it gets close to or onshore near Wilmington, and that's not good for South Carolina because that's where we are, west. So instead of going on in the general northwest direction that it's been heading, it's going to take more direct west turn, according to the models, and affect our weather in a big way. Catastrophic flash flooding and major river flooding are expected. There is a life-threatening storm surge expected to occur near landfall and for some time after. What they're talking about now is that it's just going to slow down and crawl after it gets to the coast. And that's not good. Just dump rain for an extended period of time. There are a couple of different forecast models on this thing. One has it basically turning west and coming inland. Another has it crawling down the South Carolina coast and then turning in, bringing it up through Columbia. And both of those models basically have Greenville-Spartanburg in the path, but after the winds have died down. So I guess that's the good news by the time it gets here. Hopefully we're talking, you know, 30 or 40 mile per hour winds, top speeds, but we don't know that. So It's a big deal.
And which model do you believe in the most?
I don't know. I never believed models. I can't trust models.
Because there's a European model, and I can't remember the name of the other one, but there's typically one that you lean on more than the other, at least what I've gathered from
from what
different
I've heard,
weather reports.
The European model always seems to be a little more accurate.
That's the one that has it going further down the coast and then coming inland, as I understand it. But, I mean, if you look at this cone, the cone of uncertainty, the entire state of South Carolina is
covered.
Is the ice cream in the cone.
Exactly.
We're in it, all of us. And so looks like we're going to have some impact from this. And we're starting to see more and more decisions on football games as a result of this, as you might expect. Basically, the story in Greenville County is that all Greenville County varsity high school football games, they're going to play tomorrow. Well, there is an exception. Greenville at South Point, they're going to play tonight. In fact, Greenville and South Point is at 6:30 tonight. 96 at Mid-Carolina is at 7 o'clock tonight. A whole bunch of games now on Thursday, including but not necessarily limited to. Broome at Eastside will be at 6:30 tomorrow. Union County at Greer, 6:30. They're playing these a little earlier, too, because it's school night. And as of now, school's on for Friday. We'll see if that changes. Berea at Pickens at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Burns at Spartanburg at Wofford College. 7 o'clock kick tomorrow. We'll be on the air with it at 6:30 here on ESPN Upstate. So that is a Thursday broadcast for us. We'll move the Thursday night NFL game, by the way, over to 106.3 WORD. So that's still available to you. J.O. Mann at T.L. Hanna tomorrow, 7 o'clock kick. West Oak at St. Joe's, same thing. Seneca at Palmetto, 7 o'clock. Pendleton at BHP, 7 o'clock. Easley will play at Westside at 7:30 tomorrow. Landrum at Chesney is 7:30. Great Falls at Dixie, 7:30. Christchurch at Blacksburg, 7:30. Burns in North Carolina at Hendersonville at 7:30 tomorrow. Hillcrest at Dorman, they'll play that at 7:30 tomorrow. Chapman at Woodruff will be at 7:30 tomorrow. And I just saw the tweet on Gaffney. Gaffney at Malden will play at 7 o'clock tomorrow. That's certainly not everything. There are more. We'll try to pass them along as we get them. I don't see a whole lot of people saying we're going to keep our game on Friday night, to be honest with you. So you can sort of assume that your game is on Thursday night unless you hear differently. But I don't think anybody is waiting around for Friday's weather with high school football. And that's probably a wise decision. I mean, what do you do? And now, look, you know, we had all these North Carolina games that were moved because the storm was headed toward North Carolina, like North Carolina, Central Florida, canceled, West Virginia, NC State, canceled, they moved up Boston College at Wake Forest Thursday to 5:30. North Carolina's probably less in the path than we are now. But nothing on South Carolina's game with Marshall tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Saturday night. And nothing on Clemson's game on Saturday afternoon with Georgia Southern. We have been told by Clemson, in fact, they tweeted this earlier, that there will be an update today. Clemson Athletics tweeted this. Clemson University officials are working with emergency management personnel, the ACC, and Georgia Southern officials in preparation for Hurricane Florence and how it could affect game operations on Saturday. A status update is expected to be communicated later today. Will Muschamp had his conference call in Columbia at about 12:15 this afternoon and repeated what was said yesterday, and that is that there has been no change. 7:30 kickoff on Saturday night. As of now, it doesn't mean anything. That just means they haven't decided yet. That's all that means. Look, and I've seen a whole lot of people speculating about this, and I don't know what to tell you is going to happen, but I can hear it coming that they're going to say they don't want emergency officials tied up policing football games when a big hurricane's hitting the state.
That's right.
So, you know, what do? Do they move these games up? Kind of lucky with Clemson and South Carolina in a way that these are not the big games of the year. They're not conference games. They're games you can live without. Even if you can't reschedule them, you have to play an 11-game season. You're not really going to miss South Carolina Marshall and Clemson Georgia Southern, right?
I think those would be the ones that, yeah, they would be okay with. I mean, I know you get some time maybe working out some kinks that were exposed in each game, but I think they would be okay not having to worry about making those games up.
You know what? You might miss it a little bit, especially if you're South Carolina coming off the kind of loss they had. You need something to get you a little more happy before you get into SEC play. And same with Clemson. I mean, with the struggle they had with Texas A&M, a gimme game can get hopes back up, I guess.
You got Vanderbilt after this if you're South Carolina. Now, you know.
Like, Vanderbilt won't be necessarily an easy out.
That's in Nashville too, right?
Yeah. They'll at least play a competitive game, much more probably, I would think, than Marshall would.
Probably so. At least on paper, it would look to be that way. But look, I mean, this is life-threatening weather that we're talking about here. So I think all we can say is that they haven't decided yet on our games. And, you know, we just had this turn, this forecast turn. We don't have any real change in where the thing has gone so far. It's still going in the same direction. But we got these new models out, you know, late yesterday and early this morning. They continue to say that when this thing gets to the coast, it's going to turn west. How we know that, how we can depend on that, well, your guess is as good as mine, you know? We still don't know. And that's why I think they're trying to be cautious and wait as long as they can. At the same time, they can't wait too long, right?
That's right.
So they're in that bad quandary.
And that's the thing with weather reporting. It seems it's a great evolution or advancement in technology that at least we have warning of these type of things. We just can't predict it enough to have one understanding of resolution of what it's going to look like. But I mean, just think 50, 70 years ago or whatever, they had no idea if a hurricane was coming.
Yeah.
It showed up. Yeah. I mean, you could obviously, I guess, see bad weather, but you had no idea what it was. At least we have a heads up now and can make some adjustments. And I also think that does it put schools in a tough spot if you have 60,000 people on your campus during, you know, real bad weather?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to do that.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking about with particularly with the South Carolina game in Columbia at 7:30 on Saturday night. Do you want people driving home in a monsoon? Even
no.
if it's not, you know, 80-mile-an-hour winds, you still don't want them driving home in terrible,
in that type of rain.
Heavy, flooding rain.
Exactly.
So, I won't be surprised if they move that one. Clemson, you know, a little less likely to be moved, I guess, but still could be.
Could be, yeah. Or, again, maybe do they just adjust the times?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can move them up. They can
move
them
the times,
up,
yes.
Move them
okay.
both up to noon, you know.
Yeah.
Would sort of make sense. At least you do it in daylight, get everybody home before dark.
I agree 100%. It definitely needs to be in daylight if you're going to try to play it.
Yeah. So we'll see. No decisions yet from either of those. By the way, you know, we told you North Carolina's game against Central Florida was canceled because of Florence. This will not impact the expected return for those 13 Tar Heel players who were suspended for selling their Nike gear during the offseason. Quarterback Chaz Surratt and six other players have already been sitting out what was expected to be a four-game suspension, but the school says actually the discipline is for 30% of the team's schedule, not four games. And so now if North Carolina only plays 11 games, those players still can return September 27th against Miami. Funny how that works. Because the schedule will be shorter and they will still meet that criteria.
Does it matter?
It's pretty bad, man.
I know, but North Carolina, as bad as they are,
yeah.
I don't know if it really matters.
Yeah. They're talking about whether they will add a makeup game to replace UCF. If they do that, then the players have to sit out the next game. So there may be another reason not to do it. I don't know. Yeah. Next game is Pitt on September 22nd for the Tar Heels.
And how crazy is it that UCF is sitting in a situation where it looks like they're going to have two straight years of
canceled
game?
Yeah, and they kind of need that to make their case. They're not going to make the playoff anyway. We proved that last year.
No. Well, that's how they go undefeated. They just have a cancellation each year.
But, I mean, it could make the difference in a New Year's Six game for them, you know? Because they need the name games.
They
UCF
do.
UCF beating North Carolina you know, a nice little resume addition that could help them with their bowl game. And they probably would have beaten North Carolina this weekend.
Yes, I think they will. And that's why I think the West Virginia-NC State game, that could definitely have some national implications. Say NC State pulls the upset.
Right.
You know, I mean, or West Virginia has one loss, and could that have been a game where they get a victory over NC State? Could that help their resume as they're being looked at for potential bowl games? I'm not certain that West Virginia could actually make it into the college football playoff. They'd have to have a lot of help. But anyway, I think that is a game that, you know, could have some implications.
Yeah, NC State and West Virginia say they'll try to reschedule. Seems unlikely, but
I would think so too. I just don't know how they could fit it in.
Yeah, going to be difficult. Going to be difficult. So they're all saying, yeah, we'll play it later if we can. But in the back of their mind, I think they're thinking, that's done. That's done. We're moving on. By the way, Virginia and Ohio are going to play in Nashville. That makes sense, right?
I was talking about it yesterday with a buddy. I just don't. That just came out of left field for me.
Well, Vanderbilt's on the road, so they're going to kick off at 4:30 at Vanderbilt Stadium, Virginia and Ohio. I think it's free. I think they're letting everybody in free to that game, so my understanding. They should. Nobody's going to pay for that.
No, they're not.
Would you go to that game for free?
Maybe.
If you didn't have anything going on.
Yeah, why not? For free? Price is right?
That'd be a tough one, though.
It's not a good game, no.
No, it's not a good game. And
don't be dissing Ohio, man. They have some good seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, that's true. But you're in Nashville. I guess that's Tennessee is close to Ohio.
Yeah, it's like in between.
Well, with something. You know, if the weather's okay, they'll probably have a few fans show up.
But that's an expense for Virginia, though.
Yeah,
all of a sudden it becomes a road game.
Okay, we got a lot more of this. But today's only Wednesday, and we've already had all this chaos. We've got more to come before the weekend, before the storm gets here. 844-477-3776, the Health Dare text line, 71307. We'll be right back. Just underway here, Wednesday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the Huddle Wednesday afternoon. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner, University of Miami, joins us in just a couple of minutes here. 844-477-3776, if you want to join us. Let's go to the phones and bring in Delvin today. Hi, Delvin. Welcome in.
How you guys? How y'all doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. You know, it's for the safety of all the people out there, and these games aren't that important. I mean, would you like to play, like Lalo said, like to get better and stuff, and work out the kinks, but like, I think people's health and lives are important. And I don't know if y'all saw it or not, but social media buzz right now, they want to see USC and Nebraska get together, make up a game, and play against each other. I think they'll be cool if they can work that out. Just don't got no game now. And since Nebraska looking for a game and UCF looking for a game,
yeah.
You're talking about a Power Five. And you're talking about a Power Five school, that'll be good. And don't forget, they need the Power Five school in my opinion. Look at Boise State. They're going to Oklahoma State this weekend, and they're undefeated. And don't forget, Houston is right there in their conference. They're playing against Texas Tech this weekend. They can win on the road. That's going to be huge to do, too. So they're battling two schools for that group of six spots, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree with you. Boise's looking good this year, too. So, yeah, UCF could use a game. That'd be kind of cool. Scott Frost Bowl here. Let's just have that, right?
That would be incredible. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I really would.
Thank you, Devin. We'll watch and see what happens there. But, you know, a lot of open questions about making up some of these games, and it's just not going to be easy to squeeze them in, but we'll see what kind of creative things people come up with. I saw this story earlier today. You remember Sean Elliott with the Gamecocks, was the offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks. Story out today by Olivia Decker of ESPN that, of course, he's now the head coach at Georgia State. He tore his right bicep in the NC State game last week. An aggressive fist bump after a touchdown. You can see Sean Elliott doing that, can't you? The way he bounced around on the sidelines, very intense guy. He said, yeah, I'm not stoic on the sideline. So, they play Memphis on Friday night, and we'll see how Sean's looking, how wrapped up he is.
So wait a minute. So that means an aggressive fist bump means somebody was on the other end of it.
Somebody was on the other end of it, yeah. I don't know who. When they scored a touchdown, he got a little carried away. He also talked about back in 2010 when he was at South Carolina as the offensive coordinator. It was the morning of the Florida-USC game with the SEC East on the line. He said he was walking around the hotel room so nervous, pacing in his hotel room. He looked outside his window. He was right above the pool, only to see Steve Spurrier laying out in the sun.
Just chilling, right?
Chilling. Unconcerned. No problem for Steve Spurrier.
I think Spurrier had been there, done that before, right?
I think he had a little more experience in that area. That's a pretty cool story, though. I like that. So that story's making the rounds today. 844-477-3776. Going to talk to Gino Toretta here in just a couple of minutes in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Texas A&M, we've talked about this off and on. Texas A&M has beaten out Texas as the most valuable college football program. Forbes magazine has updated its most valuable programs based on estimated averages for profits and revenue. Texas had held the top spot with $100 million in revenue in 2011, $92 million in profit in 2014. They had a ton of SEC revenue when they came into the league and a lot of athletic department contributions. Jimbo Fisher told Golic and Wingo this morning it represents the dedication and resources put into the program. So, if you were thinking about Texas A&M against Clemson last week, and we talked about the difference in the revenues that were brought in. They're number one now. Texas A&M brought in $148 million in revenue, $107 million in profit over that span, according to Forbes. Texas was second. Michigan was third. Alabama and Ohio State rounding out the top five in most profitable programs. All right, we have Gino Toretta on the line with us. Hey, Gino, how are you?
No money in college athletics, are there?
There's no money, Gino. We don't need to share any of that, right?
Hey, that's what you get when it's profitable when you have free labor on the field.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Oh, yeah, let's just jump right into that
exactly.
One, right?
I love this, Gino. Let's just jump right into it. Some controversy.
Yeah. Gino Toretta, the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner. You're doing a lot of things now, but one of the things you're doing is running basically Touchdown Radio, a network that we carry some games on. How'd you get into that?
Oh, I did TV for that big network a few years back in 98, 99. I started doing radio for some folks and then just kind of started my own gig, shoot, a little over a decade ago. So set a schedule in the spring and travel around and go do games. We obviously got a big one, LSU Auburn, this weekend. So it's a lot of fun. Get to see a lot of places that I didn't get a chance to play at or experience, and it's always great to college football is the best thing out there.
Yeah, no question. We'll have that LSU Auburn game here from Touchdown Radio on ESPN Upstate, 3:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon. So give us your thoughts on that. Will you look for a close game?
You know, I think that LSU's win over Miami was good. But I think it exposed Miami's weaknesses more than LSU's strengths. I think that, Miami's lacks a front four on defense and offensive line. I think that, Burrow at LSU's got to play a lot better than he has. I mean, we're, barely cracking the 50% completion mark. He's got to get it going. They have talent and they have weapons, but, and then you look at Auburn with Stidham and home field advantage. I really think of all the places, and people always ask me, what's your favorite place to go to? Of all the home field advantages, if Auburn is not, at the top two, I would say, if not number one of every person's list that went to one of their rivalry games, I'd say they're crazy. I mean, the place is deafening loud. The team's good. Experienced quarterback, like I said, instead of I think, Auburn's got a distinct advantage in this one.
How about the U, your alma mater there, and Mark Richt, tough start to the season, but are you concerned about them? Do you think they're going to be okay this year?
They have to get a lot better. Concerned after LSU, and then, we played Savannah State last week, which you really can't measure outside of, you played everybody that had a uniform on your sidelines in the game. So there's a concern. They lost three old linemen from a season ago, lost two big tackles on the defensive line, and came out and just, didn't play to the hype against LSU. Their schedule is not very difficult, outside to go on the road to Virginia Tech later in the season. Florida State would be probably their other big game, which, Florida State didn't look very good in the last couple of weeks either. So there is concern. They need better quarterback play. And you know, I think a season ago for them to win 10 games was, I think, more than probably a lot of people expected. But when your defense is forcing 2 to 3 turnovers a game, you know, that's big. And I think what they haven't shown last year and even this year is they have not shown they could win the game without forcing those couple turnovers by the defense.
Yeah, Florida State not very good. Florida finally lost to Kentucky after that, 32-game streak. So the Florida schools not off to the best of starts. Who do you think kind of bounces back first out of that group, Miami, Florida State, and Florida, and gets the ship righted?
Well, I think Miami, just from the standpoint of a little bit more experience. You know, you got Florida State with a new coaching staff and Taggart. I think Dylan, we were at Florida, Kentucky last weekend, and I think Florida's got a lot of the same issues with Miami. I mean, new coaching staff in Mullen, who he's had success, you know, at Mississippi State before, but their offensive line wasn't very good. I thought defensively they played very vanilla for Grantham. I mean, Grantham's known as a blitzer and bringing pressure, and he kind of just sat back and let Kentucky just pick their defense apart. So I don't know if that's a question mark based on personnel. He didn't want to get too aggressive and get beat, you know, with big plays. But it just, to me, as you watch the three schools, we all have similar ailments. I mean, it's almost, I said to my broadcast partner during the game, I'm like, is it finally time that every other school in the country recruiting Florida and taking players out of Florida? Is it time that basically it's hurt all three of these schools that they haven't kept enough of their homegrown talent home to be good?
And we're continuing talking with 1992 Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta from the University of Miami, and also founder of Touchdown Radio. And you can hear some of his broadcasts and actually hear the LSU-Auburn broadcast game right here on ESPN Upstate. And Gino, this is Richmond Weaver co-hosting here with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. And as you talked about some of these schools that we mentioned, it seems that quarterback play is an issue, and we know how important quarterback play is, but there's also some of these programs like Alabama, Clemson, that are in the unique situation of maybe having too many quarterbacks, and can they play two quarterbacks throughout the season? What's your thoughts in terms of can that be a successful type of situation for these schools?
I think that it can be a success only if there's an injury and then you play the other quarterback. Now, it's obviously a luxury having two quarterbacks that are capable to win games. I mean, obviously Alabama has guys that you know, and Hurts, his experience, he's won more games than Tua. But Tua, just an unbelievable dynamic playmaker. But I don't know if anybody – I mean, I can't remember a team where you had two leaders of a program and you go kind of back and forth. I don't know if there's a rhyme or a reason. One guy plays a series or two and then you come out. It's normally you have two talented players, there's an injury, and somebody else steps in. And, you know, he's at the same level as the other quarterback, and the team has the same kind of success. I don't know if you can go back and forth. And I think, you know, Nick Saban has shown us, hey, you know, Tua's going to be the starter and Jalen's going to be the backup. I think, you know, Clemson kind of the same thing. They got their guy. I think one school that impressed me, we did Ohio State week one, and Haskins up there is as talented as they get. I mean, I was like, there's no way this guy, you know, you had JT Barrett, who set 35 conference passing records, quarterback records, you know, at Ohio State and in the Big Ten Conference. And this guy Haskins comes in and I'm like, wow, he's got a higher ceiling and playing better than JT Barrett in week one. I mean, strong arm, touch, athlete, every attribute you want as a quarterback that he has. So, you know, I think it's always good to have two, but I don't think you can go back and forth, because I think the team really needs that one guy to follow.
And talking with Gino Toretta, 1992 Heisman Trophy winner. And Gino, then how does that affect the quarterback psyche? I mean, you've played quarterback, and how does that affect your play, knowing that there's potential? I mean, you've got to come in and out of a series.
Well, I think the coaches, you know, anytime you have a competition, you know, when there's a competition, okay, that you know, you're battling at that point. But when they name the starter, you know, it's those coaching staffs have told the starter here, you know, you're not on a quick leash. You play free, play fast, because the worst thing you want is your starter looking over his shoulder thinking, okay, if I'm aggressive with the ball, maybe it gets tipped and picked off, then I'm going to sit on the bench. So it becomes conservative, and it affects your decision-making on the field. You want to play, you know, basically just fast and free. And I think that's where coaches realize once you pick a guy, hey, he's the guy. Now, you know, it may take, you know, a half of bad football. It may take a game or two of bad football. And at that point, the coaches reevaluate. But I think that your starter can't be playing thinking, if I make one mistake, I'm out of this game or out after this next series.
Do you know, were you able to watch the Clemson-Texas A&M game? And if so, I wondered what your thoughts were on the Tigers in particular in that performance.
You know what? I didn't see it. Obviously, I'm going just based on highlights. You know, obviously, talent-wise, you know, they're one of the best in the country. You know, and the people kind of – I think they discount, you know, Texas A&M for making a coaching change. But, you know, you have Jimbo who knows Dabo well. He knows their scheme well. So you know he's going to game plan well. And when you go on the road, I mean, we saw it last year. I mean, Alabama didn't beat, you know, they're not losing. They're losing on the road. They're not losing at home. And teams are a lot better at home than they are on the road. But I think that, you know, talent-wise, skill-wise, you know, Clemson is one of the best few teams, you know, in the country. And I think that early in the season, it's always like this. I mean, you're not hitting – offensively on all cylinders. You might be making still some mental errors defensively on that side of the ball as well, but that's going to happen early in the season. And I think that they have so much talent and so much weapons on offense that, you know, they're going to be fine as they continue to, you know, get experience and don't make those mistakes.
Before we let you go, Gino, can you give us a favorite or two for the Heisman this year, or is it too early?
God, it's way too early. You know, it's funny because, you know, even after week one, people are like, oh, Bryce Love, he played his way out of it. I'm like, we're talking about the first game of the season. I mean, you know what I mean? There's not a Heisman Trophy winner that didn't have a bad game or
right.
in the season that he won the Heisman Trophy. I think that from what I've seen, I think, you know, like I said, Haskins would probably have that ability at the end of the year, because you know he's the trigger puller on a team that I think is as talented as can be. You know, Tua's made some great plays. I mean, you know, in the few games, Greer at West Virginia. You know, obviously Love at Stanford's the most experienced back. You know, we usually get a running back and or return guy or multi-dimensional guy, you know, that has some big games. But you know, to me, it's once we're through September, middle of October, and then you start looking, okay, which guy's consistent? And then it's talking about middle of conference play when, you know, that guy needs to have a game, you know, to win the game and help his team win. And I think that's when you get a differentiator in the Heisman. I mean, like a Mark Ingram back in the day when they were playing South Carolina, and they put him at quarterback, and I think he had 250 yards on the ground. They didn't even bother throwing the ball. They just put him in the backfield, and I think that was his, you know, I guess Heisman moment. I would say it was his Heisman game because, you know, there are going to be those games for all those guys that are the best players in the country of show us in prime time, and it has a lot of weight in November.
Gino Toretta. Gino, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on with us. Hope to talk to you again.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Gino.
Heisman Trophy winner in 1992. Be on the call for LSU and Auburn, 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, unless they move it, right here on ESPN
yes, you never know.
Upstate. Back in a moment in the huddle. Stay with us. Welcome back to the huddle, ESPN Upstate. Thanks to Gino Toretta for spending a few minutes with us. Some interesting thoughts from that guy. Imagine he's pretty good on the radio. I'm going to listen to him. on the broadcast.
I was very pleased with his
well, of course you were.
Quarterback choice. What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly.
Hey, I've seen Haskins play a couple times. He's pretty good.
No, I would agree. I'm not going to downplay Haskins because he does seem to have that it factor. Now, we'll see what happens this weekend, TCU.
Yep.
It will really start getting the test.
Alonzo says no problem. That's what Alonzo said yesterday when you were here.
No problem.
No game. Not even close. Blowout. Ohio State. That's what he said. We'll pick our games tomorrow, right?
And he might be right, actually.
Yeah, could be. I foresee a little bit closer game than he does.
Ooh, okay.
Josh Allen has been named the starting quarterback at Buffalo. How long did that take?
One game.
In stereo.
I mean, technically, it didn't even take a full game, did it?
No, I don't think so. I think they knew in the first quarter.
Yeah. After the 47-3 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, Nathan Peterman is no longer the starter. And here's what Josh McDermott said. He said, I don't feel a need to elaborate. That's bad. He said, we talk a lot in-house about decisions, what we've got to do, the right move at the right time. And right now, this is the right move for us. McDermott declined to say whether he intends to permanently switch to Allen as the starter. Well, that's going to depend on how Josh plays. I think Josh will be all right. And, you know, does it matter that Sam Darnold came out and lit it up the other night? You know, does that give you any more reason to believe that a rookie can do this? I mean,
I don't think it really matters. I think what matters is they got beat 48-7. Yes,
47-3.
47-3, that's it, yes.
Yeah, so you know Peterman can't do it, so you might as well try it, right? Is Allen ready? That's the question. McDermott said, I don't think he's prepared yet. It's a natural progression during a week, but he will be prepared. Yeah, look, he's an athletic guy. He can make pretty good intermediate throws. And Buffalo had 83 rushing yards, and they're trying to improve the running game by improving the passing game. And they had none of that last week. So nothing to lose. And so you can't really be surprised by that, right? Nothing to lose in this situation.
Agreed. You got to make a change.
I think Josh Allen will be all right. I kind of liked him in college. Whether he's quite ready or not, we will find out coming up this weekend. Final break. We'll come back here in the huddle, 844-477-3776. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate. So now the Atlanta Braves have won 4 in a row, and the Philadelphia Phillies have lost 4 in a row, including 2 yesterday. And the Braves' lead in the National League East is 6.5 games. 6.5 game lead. According to ESPN, the Braves' playoff percentage, the percentage likelihood that they'll make the playoffs, is now at 93.8. The Atlanta Braves, people. The Atlanta Braves are just rolling into a home stretch here with no issues whatsoever. If the season ended today, they'd play Colorado in the first playoff series. You like that? The Rockies.
It's playoffs. You got to like it regardless.
Yeah.
Hey, Richmond, you notice he's still surprised?
Yes.
You hear that?
He still never has bought in that the – I don't even think
– He just doesn't believe.
He doesn't. Even with that high percentage, I think he's still sitting there.
But they'll find a way.
You're telling me there's a chance they won't make the playoffs.
That's not true. I said it yesterday. Yes. We had the question yesterday on 3 questions.
Okay, I missed that one.
Are you concerned? And I said, no, I'm not concerned. The Braves are in, man. It's all good. Done deal.
Done. Signed, sealed, and delivered, and the hemming and the hawing. I can hear it. You should see, everybody, you should see his body language right now.
Nah, I'm good
with not a body language expert, but good enough, I can tell.
You know, I listen to tone more than anything, and there's definitely a tone there.
So we have 17 games left. The Braves are 81-64, so that's 145, 160. 17 games left, right? 17 games left with a 6.5 game lead. I mean, look, you know, stranger things have happened. I just don't have any confidence in Philadelphia to do anything.
That's the problem.
Two out of their last 10 games.
Yes, that's the other factor into this. It's all relative based on the other teams.
In fact, the Nationals have almost caught the Phillies now. The Nationals have won 4 in a row. They're 8 back, and the Phillies are 6.5 back, so the Nationals may pass the Phillies before it's all over. But look, the Braves are, they are impressive. And as I said yesterday, pitching is coming around all right. They're starting to get some hitting in places where they weren't getting it before, like third base. So you got to like it where it stands right now. Atlanta Braves with a 6.5 game lead in the National League East. On the other side, Will Muschamp, Gamecock football coach. We'll hear from him about Saturday's performance against Georgia. A little more on that. And Darrell Nance, the athletic director for Greenville County, will join us to talk about rescheduling high school football games because of Florence. That's all coming up in hour two of the Huddle. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.